You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
The expression pain in the neck is often frequently used by many of us to make a point. I think I've used it 2, 3, 4 times already in this program, and we're only a half an hour old. But I'm talking now about a real pain in the neck. Neck pain is a problem for many people, either as a temporary situation or maybe a longer-term problem. We have on the line our GFB chiropractor, Dr. William Chan. Hi, Dr. Chan.
Good morning, Dale. How are you?
I'm well. Very nice to join to have you on the radio once again.
Thanks for having me again.
Now, we're going to concentrate to begin with on the neck, shall we?
Yes.
Neck pain, I'm having had neck pain from time to time, either from injuries or having slept badly somehow. It really does affect you. It's quite annoying. It affects even the way you move, doesn't it?
It is. It's not an actual diagnosis, but it's a description of any pain that people have in their neck or upper back region, and it may or may not involve discomfort even radiating into the arm. And to see how common it is, it's actually pretty much as half as common as people with lower back problems. Now, anyone can get lower back pain, and primarily you get pain with being women. Maybe with their longer necks, they have less musculature in their necks. People get older.
Do women have longer necks?
They do.
I didn't know that.
Necks and less muscles.
Women have longer necks and less musculature in the neck.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. All right.
And older people can also get more neck pain, as do people who are physically and have mentally more stressful jobs. People who smoke can have more neck pain, and then this one I'm not making up, Dale, but married people generally have more neck pain as well.
Which brings us to the expression pain in the neck.
Exactly.
Why would it be that married people have more neck pain? Do you have any theories on that?
I don't really know. It could be just the fact that it could be just the stressfulness of being married with kids and stuff like that. I'm not exactly sure, and I probably shouldn't be speculating.
But you know, statistically, it's true, though,
yes,
right?
Statistically, they have found an association. Yes.
But and yet, as you say, there is no particular diagnosis for neck pain. It just comes at you for a variety of different reasons.
I mean, it can arise from any structures in the neck, including your muscles and nerves, as well as the bones and the cushioning disc between your bones. It's difficult to cover all the causes, but fortunately, with neck pain, one of the most common causes for neck pain is muscle strain or tension caused by pretty much everyday activity, in particular bad posture is what we find. So to give you an example, the things like people who hunch over their desk all day long, they're cradling their phone, they're leaning into the computer and hunching, and then actually what we find that's becoming more and more common are people who spend lots of time looking down at their tablet computers, their smartphones and e-readers. So it's a very unnatural position to have your head kind of dangling.
I once worked in a newsroom many years ago, back when we had those big old ugly phones, and reporters, of course, use both hands to take notes. This is before computers, and cradled used their neck to hold the phone, and there were huge issues that came up, and it resulted in our boss buying those little things that mechanically hooked onto the phone receiver to keep your neck straighter when you were talking on the phone hands-free, and it really seemed to help. So that one little operation really made a difference, you know.
That's a very easy and inexpensive solution to your problem there. Now, other problems that can cause neck pain can include things like wear and tear, such as arthritis in your neck, or more commonly trauma associated with car accidents, contact sports, and falls. And then in really rare instances, you have infections or certain cancers, it can also cause neck pain.
Whiplash would be a big part of that then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, for sure.
How delicate is the neck? I mean, we hear that women's necks are longer and perhaps a little more delicate, and probably that's the way it should be. But how delicate and intricate is the neck with all its bones and muscles?
It's quite delicate in that it houses the nerves that run down the rest of your body, but at the same time, it's also holding up your head. And you want to think of it as almost like a fishing rod with a weight at the end.
Yeah.
So basically, it's like a whip-like motion. So if that weight starts to kind of move around, you get a lot of motion through that neck. And if there's too much stress, then you're certainly going to damage some of the structures that are involved.
And so being in, I would think, being in good shape, especially in your Zoomer years, would be most important to guard against some of that neck pain?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Being in good shape so you have more muscular support is very important. People who exercise regularly, they can help to relieve some of the stress and tension in their necks. Those are all very important things. If you're on the topic of prevention, I mean, people, just as we just talked about, practicing good posture. So if you're sitting, make sure that your head is sitting right over your shoulders. And that you're not hunching forward. If you're standing,
I'm doing that right now.
There
okay.
you go.
All right. I'm trying to anyway. I'm listening to you.
If you're standing, make sure that your head and your shoulders, your hips and ankles line up with one another like a tall building. Don't cradle the phone like we just mentioned.
Yeah, right.
Take frequent breaks. And that applies not just to your neck, but to pretty much any muscle and joint in your body. Just give it a little break every now and again. Stretch your neck muscles out about every 45 to 60 minutes an hour, several times a week. If you're reading, try to have that document as much at eye level as possible. And you mentioned earlier when you're sleeping, try not to sleep on your stomach if you can, and use a pillow that properly supports your head and your neck.
Oh, you shouldn't sleep on your stomach? Is that...
No, that's right. Your neck gets basically turned off to one side all night long.
Oh, well, I guess it would, yes, right.
Yeah, and so you end up putting a lot of stress. And most people who sleep on their stomachs have a tendency to sleep on the same, facing the same side night after night, so that puts a lot of strain on the same tissues day over day.
And of course, in this relatively new world of texting, you see people standing up with their head, with their neck bent down as they're busy texting away. Do people come and complain about that causing neck pain?
Absolutely.
As well?
That's they do that more and more nowadays with texting, and even at younger and younger ages, because I guess that's the new generation.
I guess.
That's their thing. And the funniest thing about it, when you think about it, is, you know, we used to work in those conditions when we're at work, and now we're doing that same posture in our leisure time. And that's unfortunate.
You'd think we would have learned by now, don't you?
Exactly. So it's unfortunate.
What are some good neck exercises then?
So basically the main things are just stretching. So one of the things you could do if you were sitting down in a chair is you could pick one hand and you can hold the bottom of the chair and just anchor that arm down. And using your other hand, you basically pull your head sideways. And you want to hold your stretch about 30 seconds to a minute at a time, and do that several minutes every hour.
Rather than push?
Yes, rather than push. Just a gentle pull, using your hands to do all the work.
Okay.
And just letting your neck kind of relax into things.
Does that help? It seems to help if I wake up with a sore neck in the morning, if I put a little extra movement into the neck, I can sometimes work out the stiffness. Does that work pretty well?
The saying goes, motion is lotion. So when you start moving, it helps the joints and it also helps the muscles loosen up. So a lot of people will get relief from just moving around, and that's what you want to do. You just want to keep on moving. And sometimes it's not practical if you're working at the office, but certainly that's why we recommend people to take a break probably about every 45 minutes to an hour.
So there is such a thing as chronic back pain. We know that.
Yes.
We've talked to you about that. Is there such a thing as chronic neck pain?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And just like with lower back pain, if you don't, this is more of a common and common explanation. But if you don't find the underlying cause of the problem, then for instance, if the person persists on cradling a phone, or they don't change the way they're looking at their laptop, let's say, then yes, their problems will become chronic. So it's really important when you're seeing your therapist to basically find out what's causing the problem in the first place. And attacking at that level.
Well, then, when you go to the therapist or someone comes to you with a neck problem, what are some of the approaches that you can use?
The primary method that chiropractors use to treat neck pain is through adjustments. And it just so happened to be a study published earlier this year in January of 2012 that concluded that for people with neck pain, neck manipulation and exercise were significantly more effective than using medications, both in the short term and in the long term. So with the neck adjustments, basically what we're doing, it's a precise manual procedure applied to the joints in your neck to improve the mobility of your joints in your neck. So just what we were just talking about, motion is lotion, and it helps to reduce muscle tension and restore range of motion. And so patients typically notice a reduction in pain, a soreness and stiffness, and improved mobility after an adjustment. In addition to that, some chiropractors are also trained in using other non-invasive therapies, including soft tissue therapies, acupuncture, muscle stimulation, ultrasound, to name a few. And then in addition to all those things, they'll also prescribe stretching exercises and strengthening exercises to improve their strength, range of motion, and function.
But that manipulation that you talk about that a chiropractor would perform, that's just a more serious version of you doing that neck exercise. Of us, mere mortals, doing that neck.
So
you're adding motion to the neck because, as we know, Dr. Chan, motion is lotion.
Motion is lotion. That's correct. Yeah. I think the difference there with chiropractors moving the neck and people individually moving their neck is that when you're voluntarily moving your neck, you can only kind of move certain joints. And there might be other areas that aren't moving so well. And what the chiropractor is doing is they're locating those areas that are not moving well and getting them to move as well.
Is that a risky treatment for a chiropractor, neck manipulation?
So there has been an association between chiropractic adjustments and the risk of stroke, but chiropractic care is actually has a very strong safety record. And basically, you know, when you think about it, all kinds of everything we do every day carries some sort of risk of varying significance and incidence. And so luckily for when it comes to neck adjustments, most of the common side effects are very short-term and minor. And you also need to remember that the chiropractor is actually very well trained to determine if the neck adjustment is appropriate for the patient in the first place.
Yeah.
So they might actually end up deciding to use something different, like massage or exercise or other therapies to treat your conditions. Now, getting back to your question, to put things in perspective, I think according to most literature that you read, the risk of having a stroke from chiropractic adjustment would be in a range of about 1 to 3 per million. If you compare that to people actually, let's say, dying from a motor vehicle accident, I think nationally the odds are about 1 in 11,000. So we're talking about 100 times more risky event of dying in a car accident, getting in your car, than going to your chiropractor for a neck adjustment. And yet you see people getting in the car every day, taking their kids to school, groceries, and to work. So I think the important thing is to just kind of keep it in perspective, but also recognize there is a risk and that your chiropractor is very well trained to assess that risk.
I don't know if I asked you this before, but just before we open the lines for questions, when you talk about chiropractors, they deal with the back, the neck. How far down do you go?
We pretty much deal with any joint or muscle in the body. Chiropractors, basically, we focus on any disorder that's related to your joints, your nerves, and your muscles, your body.
Including your feet?
So including your feet, your knees, your hips. Right down to your right up to your shoulders and elbows and things like that.
But isn't that where you would sort of cut the grass of podiatrists?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's in the context of looking at the overall picture of a patient. So just because somebody has, let's say they have a pain in the back, sometimes pain in the back could be coming from an abnormal gait.
Yeah.
So if you're not looking at the full picture, then you might not actually treat the patient as effectively. So there is some overlap, but it's required. So that
Would you refer people to a podiatrist? Because our podiatrist says that he often refers people to a chiropractor.
Exactly. Yes,
yes,
we would. There'd be a lot of cross referrals.
Yeah.
Depending on what situation arises and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you have a comment or a question for Dr. Chan, we can deal with the neck, but we can also go back to the back, can't we?
If they have
back, of course.
Sure.
In fact, we can go all the way down to the feet, I guess. here are the numbers, 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. Give us a call.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Gold Hawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Okay, if you have some kind of back pain, neck pain, we can start there anyway. Dr. William Chan, our resident chiropractor, is with us for the next few minutes to answer your questions at 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. And we have Mel on the line. Mel, do you have a question for Dr. Chan?
Yes, I have a constant everyday neck pain. Is it because I'm driving a taxi 10 hours a day and you have to look over your shoulders on the blind spot?
Yeah. In other words, are you injuring your neck by doing that? I guess you're asking, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, what about that, Dr. Chan? Would that represent some kind of stress on the neck?
It can be, yes. Anytime you're in the same position for extended periods of time, can certainly put a constant stress on the same tissues over and over again. And so especially if you're working 10 hours a day, it certainly will add up. But however, you should probably have it checked out if it's a constant pain, just to make sure there aren't any other reasons for that discomfort.
If you had it checked out, the chiropractor might be able to recommend some exercises that would help strengthen the neck or something like that?
How you can stretch it maybe possibly in between clients and things like that.
Yeah.
Things you could do at home to perhaps strengthen some of those muscles to make them a little stronger so they can handle more stress when he is at work. Just to maybe even a change in terms of how he's driving. Some people actually get tense if they're driving at the, let's say, 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock position. That might be more beneficial to drop your arms down a little lower and drive at the 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock position.
Have you tried that, Mel?
But I suspect also, when I'm sleeping, I need a better kind of a pillow. Yeah, maybe I should buy one of those therapeutic, like,
oh, those things you put around your neck? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are those good, Dr. Chan?
Yeah, it's support for your muscles. I mean, you when you sleep, hopefully we're sleeping anywhere from 6 to 8 hours a night. So
yeah,
you can imagine if you're not supporting your muscles and not getting a rest for that amount of time, that doesn't bode well for the next day when it wakes up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mel, maybe you should check with a chiropractor and see if there's anything in particular they can do to relieve some of that neck pain, eh?
Yeah, because I feel there's something like muscle, hardened muscle in my neck.
Yeah. Well, because you keep doing that same motion for many, many hours in a given day, right?
Yeah, of course.
All right, Mel, thank you. Thank you very much for that. Do you get complaints from cab drivers or drivers about those kinds of things?
We do from drivers, people who drive, truck drivers who drive along periods of time.
Yeah.
I would say we get more lower back complaints from drivers. We see more people with neck pain who work on computers.
Ah, right. Okay. All right. Here is Joe calling from Markham. Joe, do you have a question?
No, Dale, I have a favorable comment concerning the practice of chiropractic.
Well, I'm sure Dr. Chan would like to hear that.
Go ahead. I've been under chiropractic care off and on since about 1960.
My guy
is the most patient man on the face of the earth, and he really keeps my back in shape, my neck in shape, and presently, I'm troubled with sciatica. He works on the area of my left leg and hip, and makes that very livable in no time at all.
How long does it last? How long does the relief last between treatments, Joe?
Well, a lot of it depends on the degree of my stupidity. If I go up and start lifting and doing things I shouldn't be doing,
I gotcha.
it can kick in again right away. But for the most part, it can run for 10 days to 2 weeks. Another thing we learned about chiropractic, we had a son born in, he was premature. He was born at 6.5 months. At 2 months, he developed asthma. And we took him to a chiropractor in Guelph, and the kid climbed up or was put up on the table. The doctor just worked his thumbs up and down the muscles on his spine, and it cleared it up. He slept 16 hours straight after he got home, something he had not done. I would urge anybody that that has a problem with asthma to consider chiropractic also.
But that isn't the first thing you usually think of for asthma. You would think of going to a regular doctor, wouldn't you? I don't know. I guess
you might. Yeah. We had tried all sorts of treatment from the doctor, medication of this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And finally, when she got up there, it just turned the kid around 100%.
Yeah. You say now you've been using the services of the chiropractor since 1960. Not the same chiropractor, I'm assuming.
No.
No.
Since 1966, yeah.
Yeah. The same guy?
Same guy.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he tells me he's going to retire in about a year.
Well, then what'll you do?
I don't know. I'm only 87, and I got a long life ahead of me yet.
Well, you're going to have to think about breaking in a new chiropractor.
Well, if I need help, Dale, I'll call you.
Oh, yeah, well, that's not going to do you any good. Thanks, Joe. All right. No, I can't do anything about that. Dr. Chan, I'd never heard of somebody being treated for asthma by a chiropractor. Is that news to you, too?
No, it does happen, and the comment there I would make is that the chiropractors are actually not treating the asthma. They're treating the musculoskeletal effects from the asthma. So people who have breathing difficulties, they'll put more stress on accessory breathing muscles, like their upper back muscles, muscles between their ribs, and things like that. And so things will get actually tightened up. And so oftentimes what will happen is when a chiropractor loosens them up via an adjustment, maybe some soft tissue work, the patients will feel a lot better. They'll feel like they can take a deeper breath. And so it feels like to them that they're actually getting, their asthma is getting fixed up. But it's just part of the
solution. It's just the muscles tightening up and really getting sore. And every time you react to the asthma, you're making the muscles sore just because of your attempt to breathe, to get a good breath, right?
Exactly, and you're just helping that along.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that applies not just to asthma, but pretty much any kind of respiratory condition.
I wanted to ask you this. How effective is acupuncture in the treatment of some of the things that people complain about when they come to you? How do you work that?
In terms of which one, neck pain or?
Well, whatever. Say, pick lower back pain.
Acupuncture, it has its place, just like chiropractic does or medication does. And it can be quite effective, especially when the person is in quite a bit of pain, where they're in a lot of spasm and you can't really do much for them. You certainly can't turn them on their side and adjust them and twist them and things like that.
Right.
And it can certainly calm down a lot of the spasming and take a lot of the pain away.
Do you do that yourself? Is that part of your practice?
Yes, it is. We complement our chiropractic with some soft tissue work and acupuncture, as well as some other modalities as well.
Is it fair to say that acupuncture can work for everybody, or is it more effective on certain people rather than others?
It can probably work on everybody. It just depends on the condition.
Yeah.
And so the chiropractor or the acupuncturist would probably have to evaluate the condition and see if it's applicable. And I think that's why we use it, is just that every therapy has its pros and cons.
Right.
And once you finish evaluating a patient's condition, then you can kind of pick and choose out of your toolbox, shall we say, what's most effective or a combination of things would be most effective.
But you're saying acupuncture would be for those instances of real heavy pain where manipulation is not going to
exactly.
work.
Exactly. Right? That would be definitely one of the ways we can use it, or in other instances, treating things like rotator cuff injuries, shoulder injuries, arthritis in the knees. Acupuncture has shown some effectiveness in helping with some early cases of, milder cases of arthritis in the knees.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that. So it's not just for muscle spasming. There are other effective use for acupuncture.
And you also mentioned ultrasound. What in particular is ultrasound good at treating?
Ultrasound's good for breaking up scar tissue that forms in muscles after injuries, and it can also reduce some of the inflammation that occurs in around the tendons and ligaments.
Okay.
So it's a passive therapy.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
If all of these things are working to a certain extent, Do you also prescribe medications to help along the process?
No, we're as chiropractors, we don't prescribe.
You can't do that. You can't write a prescription.
No, if we see the need for, we'll probably refer back to the medical doctor, and that's where the cross referrals come in handy. And
but we
can recommend, for instance, things like using ice or heat, which can work quite well as well. So, for instance, a natural anti-inflammatory would be something like ice. And, you can apply ice, several times a day, 10, 15 minutes, and then it can, as long as you're doing it consistently, it can be quite effective.
Yeah. Is that an area where chiropractors believe or would rather that they could write those prescriptions? Would that be part of the practice that some chiropractors might want to have?
I'm not sure. I mean, as chiropractors, generally, we err towards the side of not really wanting to use medications.
Yeah.
My view is generally there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
Depending on the situation. So it's hard to kind of just, one broad stroke say there's never a need for medication, because there certainly is. So whether or not I'd like to use that, sometimes I'd say yes, because it seems like a pain just to get a refer a patient back to a medical doctor just to get an anti-inflammatory.
Which you do. I'm sure that's a regular part of the practice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Referring back to a medical doctor.
Yeah, if a need arises, certainly we will refer out for sure.
Dr. Tan, thanks once again for all the great information. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Dale.
Okay.
Have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye for now. Dr. William Chan, our chiropractor, who will be back in a few weeks.
Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.